Amen. God bless you as you give. I am going to share for a little bit here, and it's not really a preaching message like I might normally do, but I'm going to share a bunch of scripture. Is that okay if I share a bunch of scripture in church? Okay, good, because we're gonna hit it. And I want to go through this, what I feel like the Lord's put on my heart, and then at the end tonight, I want to hopefully have a little bit of time where we can actually pray back some of the things that we heard and we studied tonight. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to feast on the Word, and we're going to declare the good news. How many know that the good news is the Bible? The Bible is the good news, that God is in a good mood tonight. And he's got good things to say to us, and everything that he says and everything that he does is good. Even his disciplines are good, right? So even when he gives a spank to us sometimes, it's good, right? Have you ever had a spank from the Lord? We all have, because he disciplines his sons, and he loves to pour out his... Don't worry, I'm not getting ready to discipline you tonight, so it sounds kind of serious. But Romans chapter 6, I just want to read this truth, starting with verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Can we read that out loud together? So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. I want to say that again to us today, because I think this truth is so powerful. It's so basic. But I believe that sometimes in the church, this setting comes in that we have to sin or that we have to just go there. And I want to tell you what the word of the Lord says here in verse 14. For sin will have no dominion over you. Turn to somebody, point at them. Point at them. It's okay to point. For sin will have no dominion over you. That is so good, isn't it? So the instruction here is don't let sin reign in your body, right? Saying, don't let it in. Don't let it in. Don't let it reign in your body. That you actually have the choice to let sin reign or not. It isn't something that just comes on you and you can't help yourself. We actually have a choice to sin or not sin. And he's saying, you have resurrection power in you to say no to sin. You have resurrection power in you to say no to sin. Present yourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. So that's the instruction. Don't let sin reign in your body. Don't let it in. You've got resurrection power in you. And here's the promise. We just read it. The promise is you're dead to sin. You're dead to sin. You're dead. I feel like I want to scream it tonight. This mic's pretty loud, so I probably could. You're dead to sin. This is the good news of the gospel. You are dead to sin. And guess what? You're alive to God in Jesus. You're alive to God in Jesus. Sin will have no dominion over you. Sin will have no dominion over you. Pastor Gary was preaching some of this stuff a few weeks ago, and I was down here, and I thought I was just going to start screaming because it was so good. This is the gospel. Sin will have no dominion over you. Like, how many know that when you hear the truth and you actually find out what's available to you, it opens up worlds that you've never known before? And I want to tell you tonight, church, that we're learning and we're growing to walk in righteousness, and we don't have to live in sin, and we don't have to let it control us. It's the best news ever, because our old way of life was crucified to the cross with Jesus. That's what happened. It was an end to that sin, miserable life. It was an end to it. When you went under the waters of baptism as a believer, you came up as a different person. You know, last week, all those people, they came up as a different person, and now they're learning to walk out their real identity. Ben was here. He got saved last week. He got baptized. He came up and I talked to him afterwards. I said, you know what, Ben? I said, something miraculous happened right now. You went under and you came up different. And here's the deal. Some of those old things are going to want to come in, and you have the power now to say no. You have the power now to say no. Those things that were ruling you before, you actually have Holy Spirit power to say no to. Am I? Oh, good. Okay. It says my old self was crucified and brought to nothing. Nothing. Everybody say brought to nothing. I am not a slave to sin. I don't have to do what it says. I don't have to do what it says. I'm free. You're free. We're free. We're free. We are free. It's the truth. It's the truth. And I believe tonight the Lord wants us to literally walk in a new revelation of this truth. He wants it fresh, like it's the first time that we are free. If you're here today and you've been caught up in sin or a slave to sin as a believer, what I want to tell you, what's happened is that you've actually partnered with a lie. You partner with a lie. There's been an agreement with a lie. And there's been a door that's been opened to something that isn't supposed to be yours. And guess what? You have the power to close the door. And I have the power to close the door. And I have the power, and you have the power in you to say, you know what? That's a lie, and I'm not going to agree with it anymore. Sometimes I think we think when we mess up, or sometimes those believers that are, you know, falling into sin, living in sin, that God is just so mad at them. God's like, it's not even that I'm mad at you. It's just I want you to come into who you really are and stop partnering with that lie so you can be who I made you to be. That's it. I want you to walk into what I've made you to walk into. Because the truth of the matter is that you're no longer a slave to sin. This is so elementary, but I feel like I just want to go into evangelist mode and just, come on. I just scream it out. But the truth is that we're learning to live out our true identity. That's what we're doing. We're getting new glasses and new lenses, and we're getting this opportunity to walk out the righteous life and what has already been finished at the cross. Who we really are. I love the Message translation for so many things. It opens scriptures up in just a fresh new way. And I love what it reads, this passage here. It says, from now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You're dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. So don't even give sin a vote on the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way. Throw yourself wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Is this on the screen behind me? Oh, okay. I wondered why you were looking at me. Yeah. Sin can't tell you how to live. That's what it says. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Sin can't tell me how to live. And in a time where there's so much compromise everywhere, I'm not here to throw any stones at anyone, but I want to tell you that we are to be righteous. God is calling us into a happy holiness, a joyful holiness, a want to, not a I have to, a want to. And the want to comes when we partner and come into agreement with what's already been done and what's what already has been said. And then our vision gets lifted higher. And then we say, I actually can live righteously. I actually can walk in holiness. And it's the Spirit of God in me. You can say yes and you can say no because God made you powerful that way. Sometimes with my kids, I want to like just force them to do the right thing. But you know what? The truth is that I still, even as they're young, I have to let them choose. And God does the same thing with us. He says, yeah, you can live in that lesser than place, but I'm calling you up higher and I want you to live in the freedom that I paid for. And you don't have to live there. We have a powerful yes in us. You have a powerful yes in you, and you have a powerful no in you, and you get to choose which one you're going to use. We get to choose it every day, don't we? We get to choose it every day. And I want to tell you this, that the more we choose the powerful yes to live in righteousness and to live in holiness and our truest identity, the easier and easier and easier it gets to say yes. And the easier and easier and easier it gets to say no to the things that we're to say no to. And it's a joyful yes and it's a joyful no. It's not I have to because of religion. It's because I get to say yes to him. Don't ever blame sin on somebody else. Don't ever blame sin on something else. We just own what we do, and then we grow our yes to him, right? We have to own what we do, and so we don't ever blame it on anything else. We just say, yeah, I messed up, and now I get to walk in my truest identity and follow Jesus. Amen? Friends, the gospel is a transformed life. The gospel of Jesus equals a transformed life, not a life of struggling through sin, through our whole existence. The gospel is transformed life. It means I don't just fight to live holy every day. I believe that there's a place in God that as we keep saying yes to him and yes to righteousness, that then we get to move on to greater things and we actually get to walk into our fullest potential. Full of confidence. How many like to feel confident? How many know there's nothing more confident than living righteously before the Lord? There's not a life that's more confident than that. It's our identity. I feel like my prayer lately is just, Father, give us a vision for the transformation that Jesus paid for. Give us a vision for the transformation that Jesus paid for, all that he paid for. We don't work on our sin, do we? We don't work on our old self. It's dead. We give ourselves to growing our new real self, our spirit. We don't work on our sin. I've said this before. I heard this from somebody. I don't remember who it was. Like, pastoring the old man is like a $1 billion industry in the Western culture because it's spent on how do you like stop sinning and how do you pastor the old man? No, the old man is dead. And we're learning to pastor our spirit man and follow Holy Spirit into the ways of life and truth and righteousness. Right? That's what we give ourselves to. If you're focusing on how not to sin, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You got to lift your vision up because he's ready for takeoff. It will. It's good. I love the help in the front row. It's good. I wrote this down. Our lives are not meant to be a struggle with sin. Our lives are not, if we are constantly struggling with the same sin, then we are missing a higher level of revelation of who we are. And God says, tonight, I want to release who you are and who I am so that you can get out of that and move on to the places that I made you to move on to. God wants the church full of righteousness in this day, right? Not compromise. Not compromise, full of righteousness, full of truth. Holy Spirit is empowering us to live holy. Holy, holy. Not like old school, like, you know, well, I just had a picture, but I can't get the words out. You know, it's just this Bible thumping kind of like whip you with a chain, holy. No, the holiness that comes from that's who I am. That's who I get to be, and the life flow that comes from that place. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. I think we have this, those slides. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So guess what? We don't do condemnation anymore. If you're a believer, you don't do condemnation anymore. You do conviction. He does conviction in you, right? We don't do condemnation. Our self-purification services that we take days to get over something are no more. We do conviction. We let the work of the Holy Spirit come in. When we sin, we confess our sins because he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And we move on. And we move on. And we move on. And we move on. Church, we gotta move on. We cannot stay where we have been. We cannot stay in the rut of feeling horrible about ourselves. That is not what Jesus paid for. He paid for us to be free and to live with conviction, this conviction of the Holy Spirit, but not in condemnation. Not in those places of discouragement and hopelessness like this is never going to change. No, he gives us the Spirit, empowers us to walk on so that we can bring the kingdom wherever we go. Verse 5, Romans 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. I want to read that one again. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is amazing vision, isn't it? If you set your mind on flesh, you get flesh. If you set your mind on Spirit, you get Spirit. It's like 1 + 1, right? Setting your mind on the flesh is death. Can you imagine if we just decided that in our minds? When I look to stuff that is less than what my Father had sent Jesus to die for and to pay for, and I set my mind on those things, that flesh stuff, it just equals death. How many want to die? How many want to walk around with death on you? How many rather walk around with peace and life? Yeah, man, I want that. I want to live in that all the time. How many like death? Okay. That's kind of funny. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. How many want to please God? I want to see your hand. How many want to please God in this room? I do too. There's a longing in all of us. So we're either sowing to the Spirit or we're sowing to the flesh. We're doing one or the other all the time. We're either sown to the Spirit or we're sown to the flesh. We're doing one or the other all the time. And the Lord's saying, I want you to sow to the Spirit because I want you to be who you were made to be. Verse 9, keep going. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Can we read that out loud together? You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Verse 12, so then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Did you hear that empowerment? If you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is so powerful, isn't it? So powerful. This is identity. This is who you are. This is who I am. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We are spirit beings. We are to walk in the Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us. Does that Spirit lead us to sin? No way. Does that Spirit want us hanging around death? No way. That Spirit raised us up to walk in life and peace and righteousness. I was thinking about this when the harvest that's coming, the outpouring that's coming, church, the city, the world is looking to the church for something different. The church is here to be an example of Jesus and the kingdom. The world is coming and they want to see us living fully. They want to see us fully alive. They want to see us in peace. They want to know that there's something really different about us. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. They want to see us righteous, full of joy, full of peace in the Holy Spirit. That's what they're coming. They're not coming to look and find people that look like them. They're coming here to say, you got something I want and I got to have it. And you're so joyful about your holiness. You're not judging me. You're just living it. You're just walking in joy and righteousness and peace. That's what's going to happen, church. People are coming. They are coming. They are coming. We're seeing an outpouring coming. And we are getting ready. And how we're getting ready is we're finding out our truest identity and who we really are so that we can lead them into the same thing. That's what's happening. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, his divine power has granted to us all things. Can you say that? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. So that through them you may become partakers of divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Whew. I know I've read a lot of scripture, y'all looking like deer in headlights. But, I mean, this is just life. That's what he's given us. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you believe that? Everything you need for life, he's made available to you, and we're learning to access it. Everything, Every obstacle that comes in your way, every temptation that comes, he has provided a way to walk through it and in it in godliness. Partakers of the divine nature. Yeah, we're going to pray in just a minute, so get ready. Back to Romans, jump back to Romans 8, right where we were. We're going to just jump down to verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes. Charity, you can come whenever you want. Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? All things. Everybody say it out loud. All things. Shout it out. All things. This is not a pep rally, but this is a truth rally. How's that? This is. Shouting things doesn't change anything, but I'll tell you what. There are a bunch of lies that are shouting at you opposite of this. And I believe right now that God wants to break us out of these lies, break us into a new place of thinking, setting our minds on the things of the Spirit and moving forward. Would you stand with me tonight? We're going to pray. I want us to declare a couple of things before we pray, and we're just going to pray for about 10 minutes. Are you okay with that? Good. Yeah, let's all just stand together, and we're going to join together. I want us just to declare this, a couple of these truths that we've just read. Sin can't tell me how to live. Let's say it together. Sin can't tell me how to live. I am dead to sin. I am dead to sin. Come on, just say it out loud. I am dead to sin. I think we should just lift our hands and declare that one. I am dead to sin. And I'm alive to God. Say that. I'm alive to God. I'm alive to God. I've been given everything I need for godly living. Say that one. I've been given everything I need for godly living. Whew. I've been given great and precious promises. I've been given great and precious promises. This is the last one. I partake in the divine nature of Jesus. I partake in the divine nature of Jesus. Yeah, come on, let's lift our hands and just thank him for these promises. These great and precious promises. Come on, just lift your voices, church. Yeah. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to fear. We're no longer held captive by darkness. We have been set free, the sons and daughters of the living God. Sin has no hold on us. This is the truth, and we're learning to live it out. We're learning to live out our truest identity. Yeah. Yeah, let's just sing that. Come on, just lift your hands and your voices and just sing with them. It's a song of freedom. Oh, sing a song of freedom. You did, God. Oh, yeah, just sing that bridge. You split the sea so we can walk right through it. You split the sea so we can walk right through it. That's what your love did, yeah.
You rescued me and I will stand and say,
I am a child of God. Come on, declare that out. You split the sea. Sing the chorus. I'm no longer a slave. To pray right now for the church, that the church would be full of the Spirit, okay? Can we just lift our voices? If you pray in the Spirit, I want you to go ahead and do that right now. If you pray in tongues, go ahead and pray in tongues. If you don't and that's scary to you, it's okay. Just say, Jesus, give me your heart. Just Jesus, give me your heart. Go ahead. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and keep praying for all the saints. So we're lifting up the church of Jesus Christ, and we're asking that the church would walk in the Spirit. Come on, church, lift your voices. Let intercession just pray through you. The church full of the Spirit, full of the Spirit, full of the Spirit, fullest identity. The church walking in righteousness, shining bright with righteousness, free from compromise, free from compromise. Full of the Spirit. Come on, just lift your voices. Just that Hope Church would be full of the Spirit, full of the Spirit. Even more, even more, even more, even more, even more. Full of the Spirit. We pray for a fresh anointing over our church tonight. We ask for a fresh anointing. We ask for a fresh anointing, a fresh touch, a fresh outpouring, a fresh anointing, a fresh anointing of holiness, a fresh anointing of righteous living. Where there's been places of compromise, we ask God that you would break into those places and release joyful, joyful holiness in Jesus' name. Yeah, just go ahead and sing that again. You split the sea.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect
love. This is what you did, yeah.
You rescued me and I will stand and say, I am
a child. We sing this over the church. Yeah.
You split the sea so I could walk.
Freedom, freedom. Yeah, we're praying for an Isaiah 61 fresh anointing to set the captives free. Just a fresh anointing. I just want us to join in on that. For an anointing to set the captives free. That's what it says in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on you to set captives free, breaking open prison doors to everyone who is bound. And we want to lift this up both in the church when people walk into this room. and need freedom, we're asking that in this place, in this sanctuary, that God would break in and set captives free tonight. Could we spend 2 minutes praying on that? Come on, just lift your voices all over this place. Sunday morning, freedom for the captives, freedom for addictions, freedom for those that are bound up in all sorts of religion, in Jesus' name. Set the captives free. I ask for an anointing on the ministry team, a fresh anointing like never before, a fresh anointing on the worship to set the captives free, to open prison doors, and the captives would be set free in Jesus' name. Go ahead and just pray. Set the captives free. Everyone that's bound in fear, freedom. Yeah, every lie broken in Jesus' name. A child of God.
There is no fear in love.
So fear has to go. In Jesus' name,
there are no lies in love.
So lies have to go. I am a child. Yeah, we're just praying freedom from fear and lies today. There is no fear in love.
So fear has to go.
In Jesus' name,
there are no lies.
So lies have. Have to go. I am a child. We just ask for identity to be released. Yeah.
There is no fear in love, so fear has to go. There are no lies in love, so lies have to go. There are no lies in love, so lies have to go.
Jesus' name, we just say every lie, when people walk into this place, that every lie that has got them bound up has to go. Fear that keeps people prisoner from moving on, it has to go, because the love of God is here to break in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Can you see it? Can you see this? I can see hundreds of people being set free in the front of this room. And I also see hundreds of people being set free in the marketplace, wherever you go. That's coming too. But I believe that there's an outpouring, an anointing of freedom for every captive to be set free. Yeah. In Jesus' name. I'm going to invite our ministry team to come forward tonight, because I don't want to leave here without being able to pray with people for anything. Maybe you're here, and as we've prayed or you've heard something, you say, I need to agree with somebody about a lie I've been believing. Maybe it's some sort of a sin. Maybe it's some sort of just a disconnect in thinking that God wants to set you free. Maybe you need healing in your body tonight. We want to pray with you about anything and everything, and I believe the Holy Spirit is here to do a mighty work in anyone and everyone who needs it tonight. Do you believe that? Yeah, one more time. Could we just sing that? I'm no longer a slave. One more time. Just sing that.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Yeah, you can come as they sing it. God bless you.